regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, November 25th, 2019, and has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item tonight is the approval, and then we're talking about the minutes of October 15th, and we have everyone in attendance, so we have a quorum that attended the October 15th meeting. And the first is the approval of the executive session minutes of October 15th.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve by Councilmember Kendall for the executive session minutes of October 15th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the reason for, under the Maryland Open Meetings Act, there were three reasons for that executive session. One was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this body has jurisdiction. Second was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related to thereto. And third, to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Now we're up to 1C, and that is the approval of the regular session minutes of October 13th.
I'll make the motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the regular session minutes by Councilmember Kendall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. Let the record say that all votes were unanimous. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes of October 23rd.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilmember Brittingham of October 23rd. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. The reason for the, under the Open Meetings Act, was two items. One was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this body has jurisdiction, or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. And second, consider a matter that concerns the proposal for a business or industrial organization to locate, expand, or remain in the state. Okay. So now we're down to the approval of the regular session minutes of November 12th.
A motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the regular session minutes of November 12th by Councilmember Goyes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now we're on item two, and this is the annual audit report. It's paid by PKS and Company. And so come forward and introduce yourselves. I know we all know each other, but for the record and for the folks in the team.
Good evening. Says up there, I'm John Stern, but actually I'm Mike Klinger.
choose your identity.
Joining me this evening is Leslie Michalik. She's a longtime manager on the town's audit. We have previously delivered a draft of the financial statements and reviewed those with the town manager as well as the controller. And our purpose tonight is to kind of talk about the audit results and the reports, and then also go through some of the financial highlights, and then, of course, answer any questions you might have for us this evening. I'd like to start with the audit report, which is on of your large financial statement package. I don't know if you guys have it with you this evening or not, but it's on pages 1 through 3. The first page 1, kind of covers management's responsibilities for the preparation and the presentation of the financial statements, as well as the internal controls in the town related to those financial statements. And also discusses our responsibilities as auditors to express an opinion on this financial statements based on our audit. The most important paragraph is really on the second page, where about the middle of the report it lists the opinion paragraph. I'm happy to report that our opinion on the Town of Berlin's financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2019 is what's known as an unmodified opinion. And this means that the financial statements of the town are presented fairly in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles based on our audit results. This is also known as a clean opinion and is the highest level of assurance that we can provide as auditors. The final report, or the second report, is actually at the very end, pages 55 and 56. This report is on a report on internal controls and compliance with laws and regulations. And unlike the audit report, which is an opinion on financial statements, this is not an opinion report. This is basically based on our audit testing, if there was any findings of material weaknesses or internal control issues. And I'm happy to report that we had no material weaknesses in internal controls, and we did not have any compliance issues based on our audit testing this year. That's a two-page report there that mentions that. So I'll call it a clean opinion, but it's really not an opinion. It's just based on our audit testing. We didn't have any findings that we needed to report. So with that, I'll turn it over to Leslie to kind of cover some of the financial numbers.
So as you're aware, the city or the town accounts for its activities using fund accounting. So you have the general fund, and then you have four utility funds. So I'm going to start with the general fund. For the year ended June 30th, 2019, the general fund had total revenues of $6,599,000, total expenditures of $6,691,000, for a decrease in the general fund balance of $92,431. If you're looking at the chart in the budget column, you'll see that under other financing sources in the budget column, you had anticipated the use of prior year surplus of $1.5 million. And so your actual results were much lower than that. Instead of using the projected $1.5 million, you actually only used $92,000 of the prior year surplus. So that's a good thing. The general fund revenues by source, total revenues, as I said, were $6,599,000. No surprise, the largest source of revenue is property taxes of $3.9 million, which makes up 51% of your general fund revenues. Other significant sources of revenue are intergovernmental or grant revenues, which make up 19% of your total revenues, and service charges from enterprise funds of 13% of your total revenues. If we compare revenues this year to last year, they increased $638,000 or 11%. General fund expenditures for the year were $6,691,000. Largest area of expenditures was public safety. About $2.5 million, 37% of your total expenditures, followed by public works, which was $977,000, or 15% of your total expenditures. You did spend $779,000 on capital outlay expenses. Included in that was a new vehicle, a trash truck, a recycling truck, some street improvements, and improvements to the bike path and the tennis courts. Compared to last year's, expenditures decreased by just over $1 million, or 14%, and that was mostly due to decreases in public works and decreases in capital outlay expenses. So at the end of the year, the general fund balance totaled $5,163,000. So the general fund balance is your assets less your liabilities, and represents your cushion or your buffer that's available to for future unexpected events. The fund balance is actually divided into five potential categories that represents how spendable it is. So of the $5 million fund balance, $3,431,000 is reported as non-spendable and represents the amounts that are due from other funds, specifically the sewer fund, mostly the sewer fund. And we report it as non-spendable because it's unlikely that you're going to collect that within the next 12 months, and that's not going to be available to pay your expenses. We also report restricted fund balance, which is about $4,000, which is the slot revenue that you received, which you haven't spent yet, because that's restricted by the state as to how you can spend that. The other three categories, committed, assigned, and unassigned, are considered unrestricted. So the committed is your impact fees, which is earmarked by resolution that you can only spend it on certain expenses. The assigned is a less formal designation or earmarking. That's money that's set aside for the insurance and also for a future community center. So the total of the unrestricted, which is the total of those three categories, is $1,728,000, and that represents about 3.25 months of operating expenses. The next graph is a very colorful graph here that actually shows your general fund balance for the 6 years ending June 30th, 2019. And you can see that the general fund balance has been decreasing from its highest level at 2016 of about just over $8 million to its current level, it's just over $5 million. There were large decreases in 2017 and 2018, mostly due to the use of prior year surplus funds, a lot of that for the police building. So we do have a recommendation related to the fund balance. It's important that you maintain a healthy cushion or buffer to mitigate any current and future risks such as revenue shortfalls or unanticipated expenses. Also helps you to ensure stable tax rates over the year. So our recommendation is that the town establish a formal policy that sets the minimum level at which you want to maintain the fund balance. And this is something we also discussed last year. The Government Finance Officers Association recommends a minimum of 2 months or 60-day level. You're a little bit over that currently. But that is the minimum, and most governments really need to maintain a higher balance than that. The amount of the level is really something that you all have to determine yourselves as to what you think is the appropriate level based on, you know, the individual circumstances of the town and the individual potential risks that you face. We did provide to Natalie the GFOA's best practice for fund balance guidelines that might give you some general information as to how to things to consider when setting the policy. We'd like to move on to the utility funds. So the utility funds are considered an enterprise fund or a business type fund, and they're intended to be run like a for-profit business, where your revenues are at a level so that they cover your expenses. So you have four enterprise funds: electric, water, sewer, and stormwater. So we'll start with the electric fund. The electric fund had operating income of $349,000 for the year. After deducting interest costs, there was an increase in net position of $186,000 compared to an increase of $608,000 in the prior year. The water fund had an operating loss of $202,000, collected special connection fees of $340,000, then received a transfer from the general fund of $64,000. That transfer actually represents the value of some equipment that was moved between the two funds. So there was an increase in net position in the water fund of $203,562 for the year. The sewer fund had an operating loss of $930,000. collected special connection fees of $934,000, had some interest expense, and ended the year with a net decrease in net position of $170,329. And then finally, the stormwater fund had an operating loss of $99,000, received some capital grants of $76,000 from the Chesapeake Bay Trust, and had a decrease in net position of $22,000. In the general fund, we talked about the fund balance. However, for the enterprise funds or the business type funds, we consider net position as opposed to fund balance, where the fund balance only considers short-term or spendable resources. Net position also includes all the larger items, like capital, assets, and long-term debt. So for all the enterprise funds combined, the net position at the end of the year was $21,705,000. Of this amount, $23.7 million was invested in your property, plant, and equipment. Had $313,000 that was restricted, which are the special connection fees that you accumulated and you haven't spent yet, which left a deficit of an unrestricted deficit of $2,340,000. Now the largest part of that deficit in the utility fund is really attributable to the sewer fund, and the next, I guess, this slide shows the net position for the sewer fund. So the sewer fund, you'll see, had an unrestricted net position of $3.9 million. So that's what's causing that total to it. Where we, as far as the fund, the enterprise funds, we look at working capital. And working capital is current assets less current liabilities, and measures the available capital to help you meet your obligations. The Government Finance Officers Association, again, recommends a target of no less than 45 days of working capital. However, in the sewer fund, you actually had a negative working capital of $208,000, which indicates that the sewer fund may have some difficulty in paying its debts. And actually, we've seen that over the past few years where the sewer fund hasn't generated enough cash, so it's been forced to borrow money from the general fund. And the next slide shows that that amount that the sewer fund owes to the other funds over the past 4 years. At June 30th, the amount accumulated up to $3.7 million. And so this is the amount that's included in the non-spendable part of the fund balance that we talked about earlier. So really the recommendation, you know, you have to look at this amount that's due to the general fund and kind of ask yourself two questions. Does the town intend to pay that money back? And even more importantly, does the town have the ability to pay that money back? So you may want to consider writing off part or all of that amount that's due between the two funds if it's determined that the town really doesn't have the ability to pay it back. Now, there's a danger in that because you don't want to write that amount off and then over the next couple of years it starts working its way back up. If it were written off, the general fund balance would decrease and net position in the sewer fund would increase, would be the result of the two write-offs.
How long can we carry that without repaying? Because I know you've said this a couple times, so it's not new information.
No. Well, obviously, you can't carry it indefinitely. The use of the general fund resources to help pay for the water or for the sewer fund is also hurting your general fund. So I think you have to, number one, try and find a way to stop the borrowing going forward, and then either make a determination to write off part or all of it, or develop a repayment plan. I don't think there's a right, amount of time, but it should be in a reasonable period of time. As long as you have a plan, and you're chipping away at it, I think that you're fine. that was there for any amounts that the town intends to repay, to make sure you have a written plan with scheduled repayments, and include those repayments in your annual budget.
Well, that's all what we have to consider in the new budget, because the increases that we had in sewer fees and property tax fees were basically in response to this information that we had last spring.
Those changes you've already made will affect next year.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, right, what we'll be able to do is tell, at least it's our expectation that there shouldn't be any more borrowing from the general fund because of those increases. What we can't gauge until we get through this year and we can make an estimate is how fast the repayment looks like it's going to take place at these current levels of fees. So you have to have a year experience of, okay, what did these new fees generate? Did they generate as much as we expected? You know, it's an estimate, but then we'll have something harder to go on.
Right.
So I have a feeling, I'm just asking, we'll have a plan for FY21 starting July 1st as to what we expect the repayment process to be. And then every year we will review it, and then we'll determine, is that realistic? And if not, do we need to make additional adjustments to make it realistic?
Right.
And that basically where we are, because we always have to work a year behind actual figures.
And that sounds exactly what you need to be doing, but just make sure that you are monitoring on an annual basis, not just setting a plan and then, okay, we've got our plan, but to be very careful in making sure that you're monitoring it as you're going on and revising it as needed.
I think we've all agreed to do it semi-annually now, and sometime in January you start reviewing figures.
Yeah, I guess, realistically, you're only, 5 months or 6 months into the rate changes you've already put in place. You're right, it's hard to kind of judge where that end result is going to be until you kind of get some...
Just so everybody knows, is that end of January, 1st of February,
right,
that's when we're going to get our semi-annual, our first semi-annual report. Then we would have, of course, our information we start getting during the budget process, which is closer to 3/4, but at that point we'll at least see, is the plan working the way we anticipated, to go through everything that everyone went through? Are we starting getting there? And if it's not, then we can consider that in the new FY21 budget. But we still have to set the reserve policy. But we can't set reserve policies until we see how this is doing.
And there's also two sides of the equation. We're talking about the revenue side, but obviously expense control
is another thing
you got to look at as well.
Yeah.
And there's two sides of the equation.
Right, and that's why there's almost no new, very minimum new projects this year.
Right.
But I think at the half-year point, that'll give us an idea as the adjustments we made, what have been the impacts. And then are further adjustments going to be needed to be considered before the new fiscal year? Good. I just want to kind of get everybody, how it works. It's not like changing your bank account.
You didn't get into this issue overnight. You're not going to get out of the problem in 1 year either. So it's going to be a period of time. It's a process.
Hopefully we'll have some good projection after this year as, again, how long it will take, particularly the sewer fund. Get the sewer fund and a lot of other things start to come back. Okay.
I have a question. Going to slide 7, where we went over the general fund balance and we looked at the different categories. The last time Mr. Stern was in here, we had some questions about reserves, and the term expendable reserves came up. When I'm looking at this chart, I see expendable reserves as unassigned. Would that be a correct assumption?
No, because assigned, you could actually make a change. You can say we're not going to, whatever we've assigned can be undone.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would not say that. Unassigned is just basically there's nothing. It's not put to any category. But as Leslie mentioned, even I guess the committed is kind of assigned to something. But assigned can be undone with a resolution and basically freed up. So I would say those are available for whatever purpose. But an assignment can be undone.
And that can be freed up without interest rate assigned to it for repayment.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Biggest question I have is, what happened in the wastewater fund? I mean, the expenses went way up, the revenues stagnated, but what was the biggest thing that you guys saw happen for the waste of the last 5 years.
Yeah. Any specifics on any of these particular 5 years? No, I mean, I don't know when the last time there was a rate increase, because that's part of the issue, is that, you know, was it 10 years since the last time the rates were changed?
A long time.
Yeah. Which means, obviously, when you make that change, it's a big hit all at once. There's no question about that. But I don't think we brought the details of the expenditures over those 5 years. But I mean, one of the issues certainly would be the rate, just the revenue did not change in essentially 5 years or 10 years.
Right.
And expenses don't stop, you know, increasing year to year.
Well, that was the same time period we did the spray irrigation project.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It cost a lot more to do that. Yeah.
Didn't keep pace with the expenditures.
No, it didn't change for 10 years. So, and with inflation alone, I mean, that's going to erode your base very quickly, unfortunately. Questions for us?
So I guess we'd just like to kind of say in conclusion that the books and the records of the city, the town, are in good order. You have pretty strong accounting controls in place. Natalie and her staff were very responsive and cooperative during our audit. We had no significant difficulties during the course of performing the audit, and that the town's in good financial condition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, on item 3 of the agenda is a public hearing on an ordinance 2019-05, amending the town code regarding solid waste. Who basically is going to summarize what is being considered?
I can do that, Mayor.
Okay.
Okay. There are.
And then we'll start the hearing.
Okay. There are two subject matters that are being considered. One is amending the town code, chapter 24, for solid waste. And that's pretty much all housekeeping, changing some terms. It's more of a cleanup for the code. The second topic that's being considered this evening is a change to the special waste bulk pickup policy that the town currently has. The way it is today, we do bulk collection twice a year. And we pick it up, and that's the end of it. What we're proposing for FY, or going into the new calendar year in 2020, is changing the process and the way it's done. Still twice a year for residential, and that would be allowing homeowners at no charge to place up to 3 items out at the curb twice a year. Anything beyond 3 items, it would be an administrative fee. What's being proposed is $25, and then for each additional item that would be picked up, it would be an additional $25 per item. So that's what's being proposed.
Okay. All right. So now I'll go. I'd like to open a public hearing on any questions or comments regarding this proposed ordinance. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Jim Meckley, and I live over at 105 Buckingham Road. I think most of you know me. Some have better terms than others. I think, as a lot of you know, I was a former councilman in a small town similar to this. And unfortunately, we had some incidents with trash pickup. We had 2 bulk pickups also. Okay, we actually had to pay a company to come do it because we were small enough that we just didn't have the manpower to do it. And what happened is the idea came up to start charging for this. And the waste and the refrigerators and the mattresses and the chairs and whatever people put out and the couches started going on front porches. They started going out behind the garages. They started to pile up, and it created a huge problem. I really question how much this is going to. I know we're in trouble. I know we're looking at a budget that is depleted. I'm really wondering how much this is going to gain by doing this. I mean, if my neighbor does not have anything on his lawn, and I happen to have six items, I'm going to ask my neighbor to put three items on his lawn. And if a lot of people do that, is it really going to cut down on the amount of bulk pickup that you had? I understand this year it was almost, Mr. Fleetwood, it was almost twice of what it was last year. I also question how many people are actually moving at that time so that they do have a lot of things out and so forth. I really question the number of residents. You have a growing population here. We are building homes. We are building all kinds of occupancies all over the place. It's obvious that it's going to go up. Our taxes also went up, and we are paying higher fees because we want to keep these services. But to give us a double indemnity like that, to say, okay, I have four items. If I put that fourth item out at night, and a guy comes down the street, he decides he needs that chair for his back porch, and he takes it, and I've already paid $50 to have that picked up, I'm not going to be a happy camper. And I'm not going to sit out there all night and watch that chair so that he doesn't take it. I feel we're nickel-diming the public by doing this. And I think it's a poor call on your part, all of you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just making my opinion heard. I think it's a matter that needs to be discussed in next year's fiscal year. If we need more money into the yard or into the trash pickup and so forth, then I think that needs to be considered in a budget item and not passed down to individuals. I think a lot of people will be responsible in town. I think we have a beautiful little town that most people are responsible, but unfortunately, there's always that one-third who don't like to obey and we'll probably stash it behind the garage. And particularly, I don't want to ride through town and see that. So thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's very helpful. Yes, ma'am.
Marie Belong, 400 West Street. Mayor and council members, this new policy for bulk pickup is pretty amazing. The mayor and some council members are constantly pushing for annexations and developments. But when the cost for services go up, seem amazed. The mayor is accusing the taxpayers of abusing the system. Typical of government. If there are a few abusers, rather than confront them, it's easier to make everyone pay. One must wonder at how new developments have helped the town by increasing the tax base, and yet the town has no money to provide the services we have had. It's either that argument isn't valid, or the leadership has been misspending our tax money. I suspect the latter. Over $3 million for an unnecessary and ridiculously complicated park, $700,000 for the property for the new police station, and a new community center. I attended a meeting with the town administrator and public works director at Mr. Fleetwood's suggestion. My neighbor, Kenneth Urbanski, also accompanied me. We presented them with our objections to the new policy and listened to their reasoning. Our objections being there should be no cost for this service. Having a limit of three free items will only cause more work for the employees, as people will ask their neighbors to help them if they have more than three items. So instead of stopping at one house, there may be more stops. We also brought up the scrappers or scavengers who patrol for these bulk pickups. You are causing a divisive atmosphere with your attitude of superiority towards these people. They are doing the town a favor by taking much of the material that is put out and saving the town disposal cost. If someone pays $50 to have an item picked up, do you think a homeowner will take kindly to someone taking that item? So, are you prepared to be responsible if that should erupt into something unpleasant? Mr. Fleetwood gave about five or so examples of the problems that they have incurred with complaints they have had to handle over the phone or in person. None of those complaints were so horrible that I, as a former public servant, haven't handled similar as part of my job. I suggested that the town come up with a bulk pickup fee for year-round use of items taxpayers don't know how to dispose of. They could also have a list of people that would be available hauling bulky items away, people that they are not recommending, but that they know are available for the service. There are many ways around this without once again raising our rates. You could have bulk pickup more often, then the loads wouldn't be so much. Mr. Fleetwood mentioned the newer developments having more for collection. These are people who have recently moved and no doubt either found no need for the items they brought with them or that they no longer fit their needs. If you were not prepared for the new population and their needs, you should not encourage them. I suggest you close the Heron Park and take the money you have budgeted for it and use it for public works. Bulk pickup costs until the finances are in better shape. Bulk pickup is a service that keeps our town cleaner and helps the citizens. Heron Park is a big question mark and not necessary at this time. And besides this, Kenneth, my neighbor, asked, what was the tonnage of the trash collection compared between the 2 years? Did it also go up?
I actually replied to your email earlier, but the actual tonnage, and bear with me just a second, mm-hmm. for calendar year 2018, we were at about 2,000 tons of general trash. For 2019, where we're at today, we still have a month ago, we're roughly at 1,600 tons.
How much?
1,600, so it actually went down.
Well, maybe it went out with bulk pickup.
That's a possibility. Thanks.
That's all.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Hi, my name is Whitney Palmer. I live at 317 North Main Street. I had a couple of questions. So I was at the meeting 2 weeks ago, and when I left the meeting, all I could think about was what do these numbers actually mean? You know, we're told that it doubled. But my first question is, what was the cost increase in waste, like just the cost of the waste pickup from 2018 to 19? I run a small business, and our cost increase went up 20%. So I was just curious if...
Well, 2018, we're talking bulk pickup.
Well, just like the administrative costs, not necessarily like the tonnage.
Well, the way I've got it broken down, and I can give it to uh-huh. you this way, we have the labor cost, the tipping fee, and then the equipment fee.
Okay.
So for 2018, those numbers combined... we're just shy of $10,000.
Okay.
For 2019 year to date, we're at $18,005.
Okay. So, I mean, those are fees that are generally out, don't have to do with the weight that's being picked up. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. So then my second question is, do we know what the tonnage per eligible household is from 2018? How much that actually increased? No. Okay. That's okay. But I'm just thinking about, like, how many additional homes were able to participate in bulk pickup from 2018 to 19 and how that increased costs, just kind of outside of people abusing the bulk pickup. And I'm not necessarily against having a limit on the number of items that could be put out. I think three items seems excessively low. I was researching just other towns and their bulk pickup. Most have more than two a year. Most don't have limits, and those that do have limits have monthly pickups. So I would ask the town to reevaluate the number that they're considering for that. I also think the $25 administrative fee seems unnecessary. If it's on bulk pickup day and we're already going to be picking up, I don't see the need for an additional fee for that. An additional fee per item, perhaps. But I do just kind of want to reiterate what other people have said, is that bulk pickup, I think, is a really important service for the town. There's a lot of people with disabilities, no access to being able to, you know, relieve themselves of items that they no longer want. At the last meeting, the mayor made a comment that, you know, we have a quality of life to maintain. But I guess I would argue that providing bulk pickup without restriction maintains a higher quality of life. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone else? Wish to address the council? Yes, sir.
Just a question, Jeff. You said you had it broken down by...
To the front.
We all know who you are, but it's sure. For the record.
You said you had that broken down by labor, equipment, and tipping fee. I was just curious if all three went up in parallel or if there was a...
In parallel.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
And Mayor, I want to just say one more thing. And I'm going to defer in a second to Dave Wheaton, because Dave's out there with the 2,000 plus homes that are in Berlin. He sees them all. He sees all the front doors, all the driveways. The overwhelming majority, and tell me if I'm wrong, Dave, but the overwhelming majority of homes, the average is three or four items. The average is three or four. We have a percent, and I think a fair number based off what I've seen in 2019 is around, I mean, I'm taking a wild guess, but I'm going to say roughly 10% of our homes have that massive amount, if you will. When I say massive, I'm talking of a truckload, okay? So again, I mean, to the young lady's point on something, I agree with you 100%, because we've spoken to municipalities. Some municipalities do not do bulk pickup. Some municipalities have more free items, if you will. But again, what's been proposed here in the broad sense is you know, three items. Every citizen is still getting six items per year at no charge.
Well, let me make a suggestion. But first of all, do you have anybody else who wishes to speak at the hearing? Yes. Please.
Suzanne Parks, Baker Street. The fee, would it be paid ahead of time?
Yes, ma'am.
And what would you do if someone, as they gave the example, came along and scavenged it?
It's a tough decision, ma'am. I mean, the reality is it's the homeowner's property. I'm not suggesting you stand guard, but it's your property.
Thank you.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
Would it make more sense if they go out that morning and pick up four that you just send the property owner a bill? That way you don't have that problem.
Yeah.
It's an option.
This is a suggestion.
Yeah.
If we have anybody else in the hearing part of this, and then continue. Right. Okay. The hearing is closed. But I have a suggestion. First of all, there's a lot of the different suggestions have been made tonight. And I think that what I would like to see is the mayor and council consider what alternatives, because obviously this is something that wasn't done just to have something to do, but maybe some of these suggestions could be incorporated, and maybe even the town attorney's idea that, you know, to a limit. I mean, I guess it's kind of a thing. We want to be able to short serve the residents. So the resident household has extra items, you know, say every now and then, that's fine. What we do have a problem is people coming from out of town, because we're the only town in this area that's not charging. I believe what's happening is people are bringing their bulk items here. They just didn't suddenly appear. So maybe there is a way that we can find some common ground that's fair. And I do understand the idea that, you know, we have a service that for some reason suddenly exploded, maybe the publicity, maybe by coming with something that's fair to all parts, and maybe billing, the idea of possibly billing for what's actually put out there, then maybe people will be not so encouraging of neighbors or relatives or whoever it is coming over and dumping, putting their bulk trash on their lot because it's costing them something. But I think, you know, I don't think that, in my opinion, that the proposal as it's currently proposed, it has some obvious flaws. So I think we need to have some, we certainly are not going to have another bulk pickup now until spring. So I don't think it's an emergency, but at the same time, I think it's an idea that I'd like to see some further consideration on nuancing this so it's fair.
That's probably a good idea, but I want to point out that what everyone is talking about tonight is the policy, which has really nothing to do with the ordinance that's proposed.
Correct.
Changing and tweaking things in the ordinance. So that can still be addressed tonight, and if the mayor and council chooses to do so, it can table the change to the policy and have further discussion and come up with a better policy.
Doesn't the change in the ordinance include something about fees and striking, I think, one of the bulk pickup dates?
If I may, the ordinance allows the mayor and council to establish fees. It does not require it.
Right.
The policy does that. So that change in the ordinance would not have really any impact, and it does not. It simply says that you may set dates. It doesn't specify how many or when.
Or what the fees may be.
Right. The ordinance does not specify any of that information. It simply gives you the authority to impose those things. Can I also make one other notation regarding the draft ordinance? There is a correction on what is page 8 of 9 of the ordinance under what will be section 24-55, item B, the word dates is missing in the second line. It should read, at the recommendation of the Public Works Director, the mayor and council may establish specific dates for the collection of bulk waste or other special items. And that's just a correction to the draft, and it'll be included in the copy that obviously goes in the code.
I'd like to make a motion, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion that we table this for the interim. I think we've identified an issue that we can keep a little bit more attention on. In my opinion, I think we're looking at a spike, maybe not a trend. I think if we get a couple more years of it working upwards, we can confidently say, hey, look, we're looking at a trend. One thing I would like to see changed next time this comes up, if it passes, is somewhere in this ordinance we discuss the fact that recycling is mandatory. But then we lose that connection when we start talking about bulk pickup. I look at the salvaging, not necessarily as salvaging something from somebody's property, but the recycling of an item, whether they take it and refurbish that item or whether they take it and salvage the metal, it's doing us a service. We're not paying the tipping fee on it. So in my opinion, I would like to see that adjusted if this comes back up. I would also like to see maybe a discussion with some of our community partners. We have AGH's thrift store. We have the rework or restore place for Habitat for Humanity. And there are other community organizations that we can work with. And if we establish a day that bulk pickup is going to be on a Tuesday, Monday we can come by if you have an item that's in well or decent condition, that we can pick it up and transport it to one of those facilities for you. That's going to reduce some of our burden as well. So I think there's some other ways that we can look at this without necessarily implementing a fee and maybe keeping the tonnage in line. So, and I'd be happy to help in any way.
All right, so basically what we're saying is that this policy of this new ordinance does not address the fees at this time.
Correct.
But it does.
It allows you to do it.
It allows you to do it, but it does not specify.
Okay.
It doesn't say that you have to, nor does it name an amount.
Okay. So there's two questions in. One, I made a suggestion, I think, Councilman Tindall, as well, as that we not institute fees at this time until we've had further consideration. But
that would be covered by the policy, which can be, Mr. Gaskell said, handled separately.
At the same time, I don't see any reason why not having something on the books that we've all reviewed proceeded on.
And I see it the other way, that we have people in the audience that have discussed the fact that the fee they don't like, and if we pass it today, including a fee, it allows us to administratively begin assessing a fee.
But whereas, you don't have to.
I understand that we don't have to, but we have people in objection to the fee tonight, and by...
But that fee will not go in place unless you all pass it.
I agree. I understand what you're saying, but... Maybe if it struck the fact that we have the ability to assess a fee and we come back and revisit that at a later time.
Right, well, we'll have to, I guess, have the proposal
right.
Of the two alternatives and see what the majority of council wants to do.
Right, and my motion's to table at this time.
The solid waste.
The change to the ordinance and the fee implementation.
Do we have a second to the motion?
I can make them individually if you would like.
I would think they would need to be because they really are two separate things.
Okay. Motion to table the, which one's first?
The ordinance.
Motion to table the ordinance.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilman Kendall to table the ordinance. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Aye. So you want to table the motion?
I voted in favor.
Okay, thank you. All right, so it's 3-2.
Yeah,
yes. Right?
And then I make a motion to table the fee as well.
Okay, we have a second motion by Councilman Tindall to table the any consideration of the fee for bulk waste. I'll take it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Okay.
I just want to say something else. Someone spoke about the folks that are actually abusing this system. As it stands now, our hands are pretty much tied. I would like to have some consideration given to, because regardless of what you do, what you pass, there are always folks that try to gauge the system. I would like to have something done with those people because this is a service that is needed. This is a service that is, I think, a good thing. But when folks gauge the system and just do terrible things, sometimes the good has to suffer with the bad. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. But we need to try to pinpoint those places where, like the mayor said, he feels, and I believe he is correct, some folks are bringing their stuff to Berlin to be picked up. If those folks can be identified, I think they need to be handled.
Right. Any other discussion? Otherwise, we'll move on to item number four.
Just one thing.
Sure.
From the people that have spoken, to the cost that we've incurred, we've not to double. The fees are going to go up. I'm pretty sure. So either way, it's either everybody's going to pay for it or just a select few that are using the system to pay for it. But either way, only one income source we got, and that's the taxpayers. So it's going to be more money. If everybody wants to keep the service the way it is, then it's going to be more in this year's budget. Just one say.
Just what say.
And Jeff, I'd be happy to help you make some connections with some of our local partners and see if we can get some of that stuff reused and not pay the tipping fee on it. We got some time.
Yeah, we do have time. So not put it off to April.
I agree.
Okay. We're now on item four of the agenda, which is an application for a special Sunday permit. Applied application from Bob's Shulam American Legion Post 123 for Sunday, December 8th.
I make a motion that we approve the application for Sunday.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilman Brittingham to approve the special Sunday permit for serving alcoholic beverages at Boggs Dish Room, American Legion Post 123 on Old Ocean City Boulevard. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Passes unanimously. Next is our departmental reports, and first we'll start with our finance director, Natalie Sia.
Good evening, everybody. Just to add a little bit to the audit presentation, Jeff and I have been working on the budget schedule for upcoming fiscal 2021. So the ideally what would we like to have is start the process a little bit earlier, and we have approved a motion in this particular year to change the schedule for review of the property tax. So this will be incorporated in the new budget schedule. So we will review it with the staff internally, and then I will pass it on to you to see if everything looks okay, probably within the next week.
Okay, so basically that would be something we'd be able to share with everybody by the next council meeting?
Yes.
That schedule?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Definitely. So the ideal situation is to start the budget a little bit earlier and separate our review for the tax separate from the budget and not combine those together, because I felt like it was a little bit of overlap and a little bit more stressful situations doing through the budget and approving the tax rate for the next year. Also, we will be working on internal policy for budget process, which will be more of a descriptive and internal control procedure for budget process itself, internal transfers, budget controls on expenditures and revenues. That will be policy presented for you sometimes after the calendar year as a draft for review. And also the third policy will be worked on is a reserve policy. That will take a little bit more time because, like Leslie Michalik mentioned, it has to be tailored to us particularly. We can't just create a policy that is not attainable. We have to have some goals and situations were more applicable to the town with the balance of reserves for all the funds.
Is that something you're anticipating, as we are, that that would be something to be established as part of the budget process?
I'm hoping that will go for your review and will be accomplished and adopted by the end of this fiscal year. That's the perfect situation, but it all depends how we go with the review. Reviewing several policies, looking at the other municipalities, working with GFOA members on some samples, and when we have some draft that is suitable for us, first of all, I will review with the auditors, and then...
But I think from our viewpoint is that obviously the restricted reserves, they're like they don't exist in terms of being there for the rainy days or
right.
days when everything goes to hell. So what I think is if we can set up a policy, it talks about the funds that are already restricted and have limitations because they are, mm-hmm. and then has what our goal is for unrestricted reserves. I don't think that, at least from my perspective, shouldn't take until the end of the fiscal year, but hopefully we can at least make some significant try out a policy that we can institute during the budget process and see how it works. If it needs to be amended, we don't have to go throw the budget out. We just need to amend the policy in the new fiscal year.
Okay.
I mean, just sure. giving it that way. We take a stab at it.
Right.
The see how the fees are coming in. And the taxes and everything else, and see if that new standard is realistic.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Natalie.
Go ahead, sir.
The lady that spoke said that she had provided you with some information on best practices or some type document. She referred to the agency she got it from, but I
forgot. It's GFOA. GFOA, it's Government Finance Officers Association. I'm a member of it. I've been working with it. So basically it's the guidelines for what would be the norm for reserves.
Is that something you can provide us with?
Sure, I can forward it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so my memory, because I remember talking about this last year, is that the GFOA general, it's a general thing, is about 3 months, right? Or two is the minimum.
Yes.
Which we have, and we're saying that we don't feel that that's enough. of unrestricted reserves. See, that's the difference. There's more reserves there than there is, but the unrestricted reserves right now, I think it was reported tonight.
It's 3.5 months.
Three and a quarter months. So we're already there, but that's not enough. So what we want to do is we obviously don't want to be unreasonable and have a year, but I think that's part of the things why we need to try something, try it on, see how the money is coming in. And, you know, this is basically, these are reserves that you need when everything goes to hell, right? And that's the part that nobody can expect. Say there's a major failure of one of the utilities or something of that nature. But generally speaking, the reserves, most of the reserves we have are, what do I call it, earmarked for right. improvements that the town has had to do and will continue to need to do. So there's two kinds of reserves, and I just want to make sure that kind of everybody understands that. And the part, according to the JF, Government Finance Officers Association, we already meet that requirement, but that's not enough for our particular situation.
It's
not,
yes, it's advisable to have a little bit better cushion. That's why I would like to have something very specific and tailored to us versus going with the standard reserve policy that everybody would have in place.
Because I think there's at least some people who think that we haven't had a reserve policy. And
we do, very generic, but like I said, it needs to be just very specific and very attainable and reasonable for us.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
And when I asked the question about expendable reserves, they discussed assigned and unassigned, which is on slide 7 of that packet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But when we were discussing expendable reserves, they explicitly left out impact fees, which is committed, but then it's added in the 3.25 months of operating expenditures. So I would like some clarity on that if we could, whether that actually applies or whether we're a little below where we need to be.
In other words, on the impact fees. Because there's restrictions on how we can use it.
We can unassign.
We can all vote to assign it.
So,
even impact fees?
Yeah.
It's got to be something that has to do with a neighborhood or area that was impacted by the development.
But, I mean, I don't think it's fair to classify committed impact fees in operating expenditures. You know what I mean? Because I see operating expenditures as if we have an issue and we need to pull on that capital, we can go do so, which they've explicitly said that we can do in assigned and unassigned, but we can't do with impact fees. So I think we're slightly below that 3.25.
Another good reason to bring it up a little higher.
But
I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think we're a little low.
But if we assign it, we can unassign it. And she said with a resolution passed by this council, we could change what we do with those funds in an emergency.
Right.
So I think those funds are counted appropriately.
But I'm not disputing the assigned. I'm disputing the committed impact fees.
So the difference between the categories, if I just want to kind of summarize it. The non-spendable, obviously, that's something you cannot touch. It basically, in simple language, does not exist. That's the due monies from the sewer fund.
Right. It doesn't exist.
It does. It's a loan. It's IOU note, basically, on our books. Restricted and committed and assigned. So the restricted have a little bit bigger restriction or assignment because it's common money from the state. So it's slots revenues. It's not our internal policy restriction. It's not by the motion or ordinance restrictions. The remainder, the committed and assigned insurance fund, community center and impact fees. It's mayor and council assignment to a specific designation project purpose. So you all have a power in a case of emergency, as mentioned, or as a need, something very specific, unassigned. But they're accounted as a part of operating because they're available. They're available for use in very, very specific situations. Unassigned, obviously, they're not targeted by any policy or motion. If this helps.
Okay. Well, continuing with the departmental reports, I'll go to Administrative Services Director Mary Boland.
I just have two quick things. Earlier this evening, or actually I'll back up a little bit, you may recall that the town partnered with Comcast for Spring Cleanup Day this year in what Comcast calls their Comcast Cares Day. And they requested volunteers to come out for spring cleanup, and for each of those volunteers, they would then give a grant to Worcester Youth and Family. Earlier this evening, Berlin Parks Commission Chair Mike Wiley and I attended a check presentation at Worcester Youth with Comcast, where they were presented with a check for $1,689, and that was a direct result of the volunteer turnout for the spring cleanup. The only other thing that I have is that the Parks Commission meets next Tuesday, December 3rd, and this starts their every other month meeting schedule.
Thank you. Any questions for Mary? Next is Water Resources Director Jamie Latchin.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're just working on finishing up Graham Avenue. Hope to be tidied up in probably another couple of weeks with the rain a little bit here lately, and I've not been around, so we hopefully to get that taken care of in the next couple of weeks. And we've just been busy out there and replacing some meters, and there's a couple of new houses, putting new water line services in for the fire suppression systems too. So that's all we have.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Jamie? Our next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Main two things we've been working on the past couple of weeks is at the power plant, removing the number three engine for the installation of the new engine. The old engine is actually outside the building, and we're going to be putting it in a big container to have it taken away to the salvage yard and hopefully get a little bit of monies back for it. And then also the other big thing that we've been working on is in the downtown area, preparing for Christmas holiday season. The tree lighting ceremony is Friday evening. All the trees are decorated, the light lampposts, the tree itself. And there is one thing, though. We are going to, Wednesday, we're going to go ahead and plug in the pole lights, so they're actually going to come on Wednesday night. We normally wait till the tree lighting ceremony, but the issue is that from what I understand, they're going to plug them in tomorrow evening, so they're going to come on. And the reason why is Wednesday is supposed to rain all day. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and plug them in early, so you're going to see them on tomorrow evening. But then the tree lighting ceremony will actually occur on Friday evening.
Yeah, I don't think many people will be upset that the lights run a little early.
Yes, sir. I think we did that once before a few years back. Other than that, we're meter reading this week, so we're out and about in people's yards.
That's Mayor, all. Before you move on, I just want to make sure Tim mentioned that the number three engine has been removed.
That's correct.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. The engine that most recently failed was engine number two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. The three was removed for the ventilation reason based off
what? The reason why we took the old number three engine out, which failed in 2004, Auburn Cat Diesel actually came in with engineers and looked at the building and the amount of room, and it made sense to put the new engine in the old number three spot. The ventilation is a lot better as far as cooling the engine and that type of stuff, so that's why we took number three engine out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Downey.
We are working with our law enforcement partners to get ready for the parades. We've made contact with Snow Hill and Pocomoke to give our assistance, and we've made contact with Ocean City, Rental State Police, and Sheriff's Department to assist with ours. I have nothing else to report.
Very good. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have one item I just wanted to point out. We're running legal ads right now for the public hearing of the Planning Commission on December 11th. They are to take up the issue of a recommendation for the annexation of the old McDonald's property and Myers Tool Rental adjacent to the old Harley-Davidson building on Route 50 and Seahawk Road, that intersection. We've had a petition that came to Mr. Fleetwood and myself, and we have to advertise it legally twice for the public hearing. They will make a recommendation to the mayor and council for or against that annexation, and then it will move to your body, the mayor and council, for a public hearing. Most likely, it also needs to be advertised a couple consecutive weeks. One of the January meetings that would come before you for an annexation resolution. That's all I have this evening.
I have something. Yeah. The barbecue business is off the chart.
On hold. I inquired last week. Ivy was asking me about it, and that is on hold at this point. You know, out at the old Taylor Bank building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I sent an email to the architect. And he said it's on hold right now, and that's the only real details I got. Originally, they had said they wanted to get the owner has two other restaurants here on the shore on the coast. He wanted to get through the busy season of the summer, and then they would progress. So I thought it was time to ask him anyway, you know, where are you for the permits? And he said it was on hold at this point. So I'll see what else I can find out. I haven't got any more info from that, but.
Do you know exactly how many homes are actually being built right now? Every time I turn around, I see a new foundation.
How many are being built? Carol and I were just putting numbers together. Usually I'd like to tell you that in December, what we did for the year. This year, calendar year, not fiscal year, we've done 9 new single-family homes, and there's a 10th right now in permitting. So that's last year we did 6, and in 2017 we also did 6 for single-family homes. And I think we're going to have a few more coming up here in 2020, more than that. So we've been kind of, we were stable for a few years, and now we've had 10 this year. I see
so
next year. 10 so far, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's only a few weeks left in the year, really, for that activity. Now, of course, apartments and other, you know, multifamily developments, we've had quite a few more units than in past years, so... Permits, we are total permits. As of today, last year was the highest year ever. It was 235. We're at 226 today. And the year before was 191. It's going up each year in the 6 years I've been here. So we may outpace last year, which was the highest yet, but that's total permits, houses, extensions, fences, decks, you name it, signage, but it keeps us hopping.
Chickens.
Yeah, chicken houses, dog houses, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions for Dave? Next is Economic Community Development Director, Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. If you look at the screen, you see how much fun we all had decorating the tree this past week. Alan Parkinson up in the cherry picker, the bucket truck, he said that he had the most fun ever this year decorating. So that's always really nice to hear. The ornament that you see in the middle, we had some new ornaments ordered from last year, and that one came damaged. It had a dent in it. And for those of you who didn't see the post on Instagram, when I saw it, it looked like the Death Star to me. So I told Allison, I said, doesn't this look like the Death Star? And she said, yeah. And I said, we should get somebody to draw the Death Star in here. So Jess Hall, who was the admin assistant over at the chamber, she took on that task, and she literally drew the Death Star on that ornament, and it is hanging in the community tree. So what we did was we looked on the bright side and found the dark side. but it was a really good time decorating the tree. I think it looks beautiful. Thank you to the mayor and Betsy and Caleb and Dallas and everyone who helped with the tree that day. It does look really nice. So getting back to the tree lighting, we're closing the roads at around 4:30 that evening in front of the hotel only. The other roads will stay open longer because of the bank. But we have Eric Canteen coming from Ocean Downs Casino again to do the ice sculpting, which is sponsored by Ocean Downs Casino. They pay for the entire thing. The tree will be lit at 6 p.m. The mayor will do the official tree lighting on the balcony of the Atlantic Hotel. We have Ocean 98, Big Al Reno, playing Christmas music up until that point, starting at around 5 p.m. There'll be music playing, and then the tree is lit at 6 p.m. We also, at 6:15 p.m., we'll have a Christmas Carol sing-along over at Stevenson Church, down next to Finn's, across from the Taylor House Museum. And then also the Taylor House Museum decided to open up this year in the evening. They're going to be doing some candlelight museum tours. And also on Artisans Green, they'll have some artisans set up outside with some special events going on Artisans Green also. Santa arrives for the carriage rides right after the mayor lights the tree. And there's also going to be a special surprise happening that evening. You'll have to come out and see what that is when the mayor lights the tree. Tomorrow, I am doing a tour with the Small Business Administration. They're coming to feature Berlin for Small Business Saturday. So some of the shops have to open up a little early tomorrow, and we'll be doing a photo shoot with the dispatch to promote Small Business Saturday, which is this Saturday. Santa will be at the Welcome Center from 11 to 2. It's the official Santa who welcomes the troops home at BWI Airport. So he'll be there from 11 to 2 this Saturday. Let's see. We have some promotions going on. It's fun. I know the residents like it, and people like to come to town to see all the fun stuff that's happening in town. And these particular things, they don't cost anything, but it just adds to the season. So first we have our gingerbread house competition, and there's 28 businesses that are participating in the gingerbread house competition. So come down, check out the gingerbread houses in each of the shops. And then also we have a promotion that I worked with the hotel on called Mistletoe on Main Street, and it's strictly a social media promotion. We've hung some mistletoe throughout town, and you stand under the mistletoe, you take a selfie, kissing yourself, your baby, your dog, your partner, whoever you want to kiss, take a selfie, use the hashtag #GetARoomInBerlin for a chance to win a room, an overnight stay at the Atlantic Hotel. Everybody seems to really like the idea. I made sure I went over with Jeff to make sure that it was okay, and it was okay. So look for those on Instagram and Facebook. And then
that goes till January 1st.
It goes till January 1st. Thank you. And then also I wanted to make a point about something that was said earlier about the it was 2,000 pounds of trash. Is that what you had said?
2,000 tons.
2,000 tons, not pounds. 2,000 tons last year, but this year was only 1,500 and 1,600. I think that a lot of that is attributed to the awesome single-stream recycling dumpsters that we have over at Heron Park. I use it all the time. My trash has definitely been cut in half because of that. And every time I go to dump trash, those dumpsters are completely full. So that is a big